Hello and welcome back. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, your guide and your mentor through this interesting study of conversational hypnosis. And of course, you're going through it in this program, so you're learning ultimate conversational hypnosis, something that will give you the advantage over all those other people who are just learning conversational hypnosis. You're going to learn it at a higher level. I'm honored to be your tour guide through this process. And also, as your mentor, I've got to ask you, did you do your homework? You know, it's important in each module as you finish it to do your homework from that module. So I'll tell you what, if you didn't do your homework for module 5, stop listening to this recording right now and go ahead and do your homework. And then join me back here in module 6 and we'll take it to the next level. All right, so I'm going to assume that you did your homework if you're continuing to listen, and I hope that in my assumption that I'm not making a you-know-what out of myself, I hope that you actually did your homework, because let's face it, you're the only one who suffers if you don't do your homework. All right, enough of that. Enough getting you to do your homework and prodding you. Let's get back to having fun. Eye accessing cues is what we're looking at in Module 6. Now, what is an eye accessing cue? Well, until probably the late 70s, when Richard Bandler and John Grinder started talking about eye accessing cues, there hadn't been much talk about it. There had been some talk about it prior to that, but no one actually linked eye accessing cues or eye movements to what you're feeling internally, and then gave it a systematic approach. No one took it that far. And let's take a look at what I'm talking about now. What I'm talking about is the fact that you can look at someone's face and observe their eyes. Now, this one you can't do over the phone or by text or email, so you've got to be face-to-face or seeing a video of them. And you can look at their face and their eyes in particular and watch how their eyes are moving with each thing that they're either saying or thinking. Now, they don't have to be actually saying anything in this conversation that you're having. They can just react to what you say. So when you watch someone's eyes, they say the eyes have it and the eyes are the window to the soul. Well, until the late 70s, we didn't really have access, clear access to that window. It was kind of foggy or had curtains on it. Now, the curtains are gone and the window is perfectly clear, and we can see into people's souls through their eyes. So I want you to have this tool in your tool belt, this trick in your big bag of tricks, or this toy in your toy box. You can play with it and have fun. So how in the world can we look at someone's eyes and tell what they're thinking? Well, it's very simple. And you may want to draw this out for yourself so that you have a visual aid to this process. If you're looking at someone's face, you might want to draw a circle. Draw a circle on a paper. And in the upper left, write VC. V as in visual, C as in created. Okay? Now draw a circle and draw a line coming out of it, going up and to the left, diagonally. Okay, and write VC. Now, straight out from the left of that circle, draw a little line, and write AC, as an auditory created. Now, in the lower left of that circle, draw another diagonal line coming out of it, and just draw a K, as in kinesthetic. Some of these terms may sound a little familiar to you from a previous module. We're going to build now on what you already know. Now, on the right side of the circle, I want you to draw a diagonal line coming out of the upper right part of the circle and write VR. VR stands for visual remembered. And on the right side of the circle, just coming straight out of the circle, draw a line, horizontal line, just like you have on the other side, and write AR, auditory remembered. Now on the lower right, I want you to draw a line, a diagonal line, coming out of the circle, and write ID. ID. This stands for internal dialogue. Internal dialogue. Some people write AD. AD. Which stands for auditory dialogue. Auditory dialogue. So, whichever one you want to write is fine. I like to write ID on the lower right because, to me, it makes more sense. It's an internal dialogue. And the word dialogue kind of implies that it's auditory. So I prefer ID for the lower right. Now, we're going to look at each of these in detail. We're going to take a closer look at each of these to see what they can tell us about people. Now, remember, these little lines that you drew represent the way someone's eyes are moving. Okay, so my eyes, in the world of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, my eyes can move one of six ways. Now, if you're dealing with someone whose eyes move two different ways, I've seen people do that, then good luck. Okay, this will probably only work well with people whose eyes move together. Both eyes are looking up and to the left, both eyes are looking to the right, etc. Another thing to keep in mind is that some people are oppositely oriented. Usually, but not always, these are left-handed people. With left-handed people, this could be the opposite. So I'm going to go through a process with you so that you can determine what kind of person you're dealing with. You won't have to worry about them being left-handed or right-handed. By the way, that system is not reliable. Just because you have someone left-handed does not mean that they're oppositely oriented, as we say. They could use eye accessing cues just like a right-handed person. You don't know. But don't worry about all that. The system I'm going to share with you bypasses that. You won't need to determine that, whether they're right-handed or left-handed. Okay, so in the world of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, created by Richard Bandler and John Grinder in the 1970s, according to that world, you're only going to look one of six ways. So you can narrow down everything to those ways. Now, someone could also be looking straight ahead. And if they're going to give you a poker face and look straight ahead, well, you've got your work cut out for you. Because it's going to be very difficult to use this system and determine what they're thinking. The good news is most people don't do that. Most people use eye accessing cues. Now, one thing to keep in mind, just like with any of this information, there are people who are trained in this. Law enforcement agencies train their agents with this technology. This is true in the United States and probably in other countries. In the United States, federal law enforcement agencies train their federal agents at FLETC. This is the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, FLETC. There are numerous locations around the world where you might find a FLETC building or group of buildings. One is in Georgia, but there are several. But my point is that this information is out there. And that should be good news to you. The fact that the United States federal government pays money to have their federal agents trained in this technology is good news because, believe it or not, the United States federal government is not interested in wasting money when it comes to training law enforcement officers. They want to give them the basics, and they want to give them something that works. And they want to do it quickly and efficiently. So the fact that this information is used in federal law enforcement training is good news. It means the government has seen value in it. So I want to share this information with you and make you similar to a federal law enforcement officer. Now, in the United States, a lot of people don't know this, but there are over 90 different federal agencies, FBI, CIA, Inspector General's Office, over 90 different ones. I could name more, but I won't bore you with that. So when most people think of a federal agent, they think of either the FBI or CIA. But there are over 90 different ones. And there are a lot of people in each agency. So there are a lot of people being trained with this technology. That is good news. The odds are, when you're dealing with someone and using this, it's not going to be a federal agent. It's going to be an average person, a citizen. So they're probably not going to know this. But do keep in mind the information is out there. Chances are you'll be dealing with a date or someone you're trying to sell something to, or your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or girlfriend, or someone who's your boss or your employee and not a federal agent. So don't worry about it. But there are other people besides federal agents who know this also. So as with anything you learn, be aware that somebody else could know it too. Even the part of this program, which is the ultimate part, which happens here and there throughout this program, I'm going to start introducing concepts which are not taught in other conversational hypnosis programs. I'm not going to point them out, but they're going to be here and there. Keep in mind, other people have this program too. It's a popular program. So you're going to have to be aware that you may be dealing with someone, it's possible, who knows what you're up to. So the trick is to make sure that you're highly skilled in what you do, that you listen to these recordings and do your homework and make sure you have your skill set down, but also be aware that someone might be wise to what you're doing. Having said that, let's move forward. I want to talk to you about each of these six possibilities. According to NLP, you will look in one of six directions, as long as you're not looking straight ahead. So let's look at the first one first, and that is visual created. If you're facing someone and they are looking up and to the right, not your right, but their right, they are looking up and to their right, that means they are visually creating something. Now, what does that mean, visually creating something? Well, if you imagine your room, your bedroom, and your bed in your bedroom with purple and pink polka dots on it. Now, you may have purple and pink polka dots on your bed, and that's your choice, that's fine. But let's assume that you don't. You will have to create that visually. You will have to come up with that in your mind. This is going to require you, according to NLP, to look up and to your right. You're going to have to create that. Now, even with people who are trained in this, there's a natural propensity, a natural urge to look up and to the right. So even people who are trained, you'll see them maybe start to do it, but then catch themselves. So you have to be on your toes. You have to be observant. You have to, as I've said time and again, get into the world of the other person. Get into that hot tub with them. You don't have to literally get into a hot tub, although that's a great way to get to know somebody. But you need to feel what it is they're feeling. And the way we do that is by observing. You can't literally climb into their skin. Otherwise, all this would be really easy. You have to watch for cues. They're going to tell you about their internal world. They're going to do it by giving you cues. As you can imagine, if someone's creating something visually and you're asking them a question about a fact, something that you know the answer to, they could be lying. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about how to use conversational hypnosis to tell if someone's telling the truth or not. Okay, the next one I want to talk about on your diagram with the circle is the little line to the left, a little horizontal line coming out of the side of the circle that says AC, auditory created. For example, auditory created could be how your mother would sound as Mickey Mouse. Now, again, I'm assuming that your mother doesn't sound like Mickey Mouse and that you'd have to create that in your mind. So if you're looking at someone and they are looking to their right and they are normally oriented, meaning you've already done a test, which we'll go over in a little bit. You've already done a test to determine that these IXS and Qs are the way that they are oriented and not oppositely. And if they look to the right, that is because they are having to create something auditory. So how your mother sounds as Mickey Mouse would be something that you as a normally oriented person would look horizontally to the right to create auditorily. Your brain is putting together the sounds. Okay, now looking at your diagram, the little circle again and the diagonal line in the lower left. Now remember, the left on this is their right. This is as you face someone. So on the lower left or their lower right, we see kinesthetic. We see a K, kinesthetic. This would be something like if I asked you what it feels like to walk on the beach barefoot or to walk across a grassy field barefoot. It's motion and feeling. It can also be emotion. What does it feel like to win $1 million? What does it feel like to graduate from college? It's a feeling. It can be a happy feeling or a sad feeling or just a plain old ordinary feeling. Or feeling something, like the grass or the sand. Feeling. So if you're facing someone and they're normally oriented and they're looking down and to their right, we know that they are feeling something. Feeling something. Now, if they're looking in your little piece of paper, a circle, you drew a diagonal line in the upper right part of it, and you wrote VR next to that, that's visually remembered. Now remember, it's as you're facing the person, so they're looking up and to their left. Perhaps you can ask them about their first car, if they had a first car, or their first toy, or their first bicycle, or what have you. And if they're normally oriented, they're going to look up and to their left, and they're going to simply remember it. Okay, the next one down, a circle, is a horizontal line coming out on the right side, where you wrote AR. This means auditory remembered. So as you're looking at the person, they're looking to their left as you're facing them. This would be something like asking someone to remember their mother's voice. Auditory remembered. Assuming they remember their mother's voice, it would be something that they actually remember the sound of, and they're just accessing that information. As we look at the circle now, and we see a line, diagonal line in the lower right, we wrote ID next to it, or AD. This is internal dialogue, or auditory dialogue. Internal dialogue means saying something over and over in your mind. For example, if you make a mistake about something, you could say, "Oh, I blew it." Or if you know something, you could say, "Oh, I knew it." But you're saying it over and over. "I knew it. I knew it. I knew it." So if you're looking at the person and they're looking down into their left, and on your piece of paper, it would be on the right side because it's as you're facing them, then you know that they're saying something over and over in their mind. Now, in my experience, that one isn't very helpful because I'm not really concerned if they're saying something over and over in their mind. I don't know what it is they're saying over and over in their minds, unless they're saying it out loud. And it's not very helpful for me to know that. If they are saying it out loud over and over, I know they're saying it out loud over and over. I know what's going on. I don't need their eyes to tell me they're saying something over and over. So of all of these, I find that to be the least helpful. But the others are extremely helpful. So we're going to focus on them. Now, before you can use any of this technology, you need to determine which way the person is oriented, meaning do they use these eye accessing cues or do they use the opposite? Now, unfortunately, there's a third choice, a third option, which is that they use a combination of the two. Don't worry about any of that. What I'm going to teach you is going to cut right through all of that. I'm going to teach you a system for determining where they look for certain key information. So you want to ask them questions, or you can just engage them in a normal conversation. As you can imagine, if you want to see if someone's normally oriented, you would talk to them about something that they haven't seen. For example, you can mention the Statue of Liberty wearing a cowboy hat. That is something that would require them to create something visual. Unless they saw that in a cartoon or something, they would not have seen that. So they wouldn't be able to remember it. They would have to create it in their minds. So you're going to see which way they look when they create something visual. If they look up and to their right, you know that they are normally oriented for that. If they look up and to their left, then you know they are oppositely oriented. So this is a simple test that allows you to determine which way they're oriented. Just mentioning the Statue of Liberty wearing a cowboy hat, or anything like that, anything that you're sure they haven't seen before. They're going to have to create it in their minds. This will give you an indication of which way they are oriented. So use that simple test to figure out which way they're oriented. Now, in my opinion, a test is not valid unless you can replicate it. And part of that is based on the research that I do for my doctorate. But part of it is also common sense. I could have gotten lucky that one time. Maybe something up there was distracting them. Maybe there was an airplane going by, and that's why they looked up and to the right. I don't know. So I'm going to replicate the test. I'm going to mention other things that they're going to have to create visually. For example, maybe I know what kind of car they drive, and I can say, can you imagine your car with a racing stripe on the side? If their car doesn't have a racing stripe, they would have to create that visually. I can also do other tests. I can have them imagine one of their friends sounding like Mickey Mouse. That would have to be created. That would be auditory created. If they're normally oriented, they're looking straight over horizontally to their right. If they're oppositely oriented, they're going to look to their left. So this requires a little practice, and most importantly, it requires memorization. You have to look at the diagram that you drew, or if you're driving or riding a bike or something, or mowing the lawn or what have you while you're listening to this, you can listen again when you have a chance to sit down and draw this out. One of the best ways to learn anything is, if you're kinesthetic, is to draw it out. Now, if you're auditory, maybe just listening to me will be good enough. And maybe repeating certain key phrases out loud. If you're visual, then it's also going to help to write it out, or perhaps you can just imagine it in your mind. As you go through this course, I want you to gain an understanding of yourself, whether you're primarily auditory, visual, or kinesthetic. That's going to help you in the future. And as soon as you discover it, your studying will become more powerful also. You'll know which way to study. So let's say that we've done our test with someone. We've engaged them in normal conversation, and we've found out which way they look, and we know which way they're oriented, either normally or oppositely oriented. So we have something we can go by now. At this point, we can find out, through using the system, how they represent their world internally. Are they primarily visual? Are they primarily auditory? Or are they primarily kinesthetic? Now, if they're primarily visual, then throughout the conversation, they'll probably be looking up a lot, up and to the right or up and to the left. If they're primarily auditory, they'll probably be looking horizontally a lot, straight over to the left or straight over to the right. If they're primarily kinesthetic, they'll be looking down to the right a lot, or if they're oppositely oriented, they'll be looking down into their left a lot. So you need to pay attention to find out what kind of person you're dealing with. This, just like when I taught you how to listen to people and find out that they're visual, auditory, or kinesthetic, this is going to give you a tool to work with. If you can determine by watching their eyes, which you can, which way they're oriented, visually, auditorily, or kinesthetically, which way they're primarily oriented, then you are going to have a powerful tool. You can then start speaking their language using the visual terms that I taught you, using the auditory terms that I taught you, or using the kinesthetic terms that I taught you. Remember, everyone is going to use all of these at some point. You need to find out which one they're using mostly. How do they mostly relate to their universe? Okay, so I hope you enjoy that. I hope you have some fun with that. There's a lot of information in this module, so you may want to listen to it again before doing the homework. That's up to you. Or, if you want, just go ahead and go for it. If you feel you've got it, that's fine. But we're getting a little more technical now, so you may want to review a little bit. So now let's change gears a little bit and talk about lie detection. Now, this can be very helpful in conversational hypnosis, because if someone's lying to you, then you're probably not making the progress that you think you're making with them. Something else is going on. If you're talking with someone and they're saying they're interested, yet their eyes are saying something else, well, the eyes have it. You're going to have to believe that what you're seeing in their eyes is reality and what they're saying is not. So eye accessing cues can be very helpful. And I want to caution you, just like a pilot in an airplane, pilots are told to watch their instrumentation. If you're flying at night, I'm not a pilot, but I have friends who are. If you're flying at night, you can't see anything, watch the instruments. They'll tell you if your plane is flying level or if you're off course or where you're going, how you're oriented. Your instruments will tell you. If you're having a conversation with someone, I encourage you to watch their eyes. Eyes don't lie, as they say. Keep your eyes on their eyes and watch what they're doing. You'll notice poker players, professional poker players, sometimes wear sunglasses. Why is that? You think they want to look cool? You think it's attractive? Well, maybe. Maybe all of that's true. But one of the main reasons that poker players wear sunglasses when they don't need them, because they're inside, is because they don't want people reading their eyes. People who are trained in conversational hypnosis, especially ultimate conversational hypnosis, are going to be able to pick apart what's going on and tell if that person's bluffing. This technique works very well when you're dealing with car salespeople or salespeople in general. This can work very well for police officers trying to get information, for federal law enforcement officers trying to get information also. There are numerous applications for this. Find the applications that fit into your world and begin using eye accessing cues every chance you get. They are your barometer of what's actually going on. They're your instrument panel. So keep your eyes on the instruments. Okay. Now, how can we tell if someone's lying by using this technology? Here's how. Once you have determined which way someone's oriented and you know how their eye accessing cues work, you can simply ask them a series of questions. Once they have passed the test, in other words, you know that they're creating something visual by looking up and to the right. You know they're remembering something visual by looking up and to their left. You know they're feeling something by looking to their lower right. You can ask them, for example, well, how do you feel about me? And if they're normally oriented, they should be looking down and to the right. If they're not, let's say, for example, they're looking straight over to the right. They're creating something auditory. They're coming up with something to say. They're not feeling it. They're just saying it. So I know that if they're looking to the right, when I've asked them, how do you feel about me? They're not telling me a feeling. They're making something up to say. They're creating something auditory to deliver to me. So I can then conclude that they are hiding their feelings. They're not sharing with me actual feelings. What if, and this is probably a little too cliche, but what if the husband comes home at night and says he was working late at the office, supposed to be home at 8, he's home at 11, he hasn't called for the last 3 hours. The wife says, where have you been? Well, where have you been probably isn't the best question. Perhaps she could say something that requires an auditory memory of the office. If he was in the office for the last 3 hours, then he remembers something auditory from there, assuming there were sounds. Also, there are sights in the office. There are things to see. So perhaps she can say something, and she probably wouldn't want to get this precise. Depending on the level of rapport, I guess, maybe she can get this precise, but the ideal question would be something like, okay, you were there from 8 to around 11. Tell me what the office looked like at 10 o'clock tonight. Well, if he was there at the office at 10 o'clock, he knows what the office looked like at 10 o'clock, and he would look up and to his left if he was normally oriented. He would be remembering something visual. If he looked up and to his right, he's creating something visual. Now, that question is a little too, I don't know, trial lawyer-ish, sounding like you're on a stand. You may not want to be that obvious about it, but let's say we got lucky and he said that he was meeting someone at the office. He had to stay there until about 10:30 because he was meeting someone at 10 o'clock at the office. And it was Joe, his business partner. Well, that's interesting. How did Joe look when he walked in the office? Did he look tired or did he look happy? How did he look when he walked in the office? Well, if the husband was at the office and saw Joe walk in at 10:30 or whenever he says it was for the business meeting, then if he was normally oriented, would look up and to his left. And if he was oppositely oriented, by the way, just reverse this. But if he was normally oriented, he would look up and to his left and remember how Joe looked when he walked in the office. Oh, Joe looked great. He's been working out. He's in perfect health. Or, oh, Joe looks sad. The merger didn't work or whatever business thing they may be talking about. But he's going to be remembering what Joe looked like, remembering Joe's face, how Joe looked overall. If he's creating it and he's normally oriented, he's looking up and to the right. That means, unfortunately, ladies, he was lying. He's not telling you something that actually happened. He's creating what Joe looked like because he did not see Joe at 10:30 because he probably wasn't at the office at 10:30. He was probably somewhere else that he shouldn't have been. So the lie detector test works really well. But you can't just start firing off questions without knowing which way the person's oriented. You have to determine that first. Also keep in mind that some people do very subtle eye movements. It's not always going to be a quick shift to the right for audio created or a quick and clear and sustained shift to the left for audio remembered. Maybe it's a slight little glance in that direction. You need to get used to the person and how they talk with their eyes. People talk with their eyes. They communicate with their eyes. So this technology can be very helpful in a number of ways. Number one, you can determine which way the person's oriented, auditorily, visually, or kinesthetically, based on where they tend to look the most. Number two, you can use it for a lie detector test. And, of course, you can use it to get into their world. Once you know how they're oriented, you can get into their world. You can find out how they like to represent their world, and you can start using words just like that. Now, interestingly enough, people will often use a series of these eye accessing cues in a row. For example, if you ask someone about their day, they might look up and to their right first and say, "Well, I wish I was sitting in the boss's office," as they create a picture of themselves visually in the boss's office. "I wish I was sitting behind the boss's desk. Life would be a lot easier. But I'm not. I'm sitting behind my desk," as they look up and to their left and remember what it looks like sitting behind their desk. And then they might look down and to their right and say, "The morning was really rough. Got off to a rough start. They're feeling it." And then they might look off and to their left and say, "And then the phone rang and it was a sale. I landed the so-and-so account," as they look straight across to their left and remember something auditory. So people will look all around. So to say someone is shifty-eyed doesn't mean they're lying. All it means is they're using these different eye accessing cues, and they're using them in a number of ways. Now, the part of this program that can make you advance, I'll point it out this time, the part of the program that can make you more advanced is sequencing. Sequencing. If you haven't been taking notes, start now. Sequencing. If someone has a normal pattern of sequencing, you want to mimic that pattern. For example, if they tend to be visual, auditory, and then kinesthetic, you want to mimic that pattern. How would we see this? How would we even know what their pattern is? Well, if when they talk, they look up and to the left and right, or left or right, meaning the visual area, and then they look across, straight across to the left or right, meaning the auditory area, and then they look down and to the right or left, depending on which way they're oriented, that means the kinesthetic area, we know that their sequence tends to go visual, auditory, kinesthetic. Now, this is going to require some fancy footwork on your part. Okay, so far we've been doing maybe the two-step with this. Well, now it's time to do the Brazilian tango, something more complicated, something more interesting. But if you step up to the plate and follow their sequencing, they're going to be eating out of the palm of your hand, as they say. Because if you can follow patterns with people and then repeat the pattern yourself back to them, they're going to feel extreme rapport with you. So, for example, if someone is talking about their day and they look up and to the right, then across and to the right, and then down to the right, that's an easy one. That's VAK, visual, auditory, kinesthetic. So if you see it once, it doesn't matter. If you see it repeated over and over and over, it matters. That's their sequence. And the sequence could be anything. It could be auditory, visual, kinesthetic, kinesthetic, visual, auditory. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever they're doing, if they're doing it consistently, that's a pattern. That's a sequencing pattern for them. You've got a map to their heart. So what do you do with this map once you realize their sequencing pattern? You follow it. You determine that they're visual, auditory, and then kinesthetic. That's a normal pattern for them. So you should start talking in those ways. Talk about something that can be seen. Then talk about something that can be heard. Then talk about your feelings. Hey, I'd like you to come with me to this concert because I want you to see the light display they do. It's amazing. The lights just light up the stage. And then the way they sound is just amazing because they play that one song, you know the song, and it just sounds awesome. And I feel so in tune with the band when they play. Would you like to come with me on a date tonight? You see what I've done? I've determined that they're visual, auditory, and then kinesthetic. I've described the date that I want them to go on with me in terms of something you can see, visual, something you can hear, auditory, and something you can feel. How do I feel about that band? kinesthetic. All right, I think it's time again for a quiz. And I've got five questions for you. Now, this quiz is going to be a little bit more in-depth than the previous quizzes, because at least in one of the questions, I want you to give me a long answer. So you may want to spend a little bit more time on this quiz than you have spent on previous quizzes. Also, remember, this information is a little more complicated than the previous information, but to give you a little hypnosis here, you're going to be able to easily remember all of this information. It's going to be very easy for you to memorize it and to apply it in your life so that you can live a more outstanding life, getting more of what you want out of life. But let's look at our five questions in the quiz. Question number one. Now, in each of these questions, I want you to assume that the person is normally oriented. They look the ways that you drew in your diagram, and they're not oppositely oriented. So to make it simple, just assume that they are normally oriented. Okay. If you're looking at someone, and while they're talking to you, they look up and to their right, what is going on in their minds? Question number one, if they look up and to their right, what is going on in their minds? Question number two, if you remember your mother's voice, if you're remembering your mother's voice, again, the assumption is that you have heard your mother's voice and that you could have a clear memory of it. If you're remembering your mother's voice, which way are you looking? Question number three. If you're talking about feelings, which way are you looking? Feelings, how you feel about something. Okay, question number four. I want you to describe for me the process of catching a liar, catching someone in a lie. It can be any lie at all, and you can make up the process, but I want you to describe the process of catching a liar. Now, again, you can just say this out loud to yourself, or you can write it down, or you can just see it happening. Depending on the type of learner you are, it's up to you how you take each quiz and how you answer each question. Okay, question number five has to do with sequencing. If you're talking to someone and you notice that they look up, either to the left or the right, and then straight across, either to the left or the right, and then down and to the right. Now remember, in each of these, we're assuming that we have a normally oriented person. So if you're noticing a pattern with someone, they continue to repeat this pattern, where they're looking up and to the left or the right, straight across horizontally to the left or the right, and then down to the right, over and over again. What pattern is this? Tell me the pattern they're going through. And then question number six is, what will you do with this information? What will you do with this pattern now that you know it? Okay, take some time. Go through those questions. Pause this recording if you need to. And when you're ready, rejoin me right here, and I will go over the answers. Okay, question number one, quiz question number one. If somebody's looking up and to the right, again, they're normally oriented in all of these, they are creating something visual. They're looking up and to their right, they're creating something visual. It's visual created. If someone's remembering their mother's voice, which way are they looking? They're looking horizontally to their left. That's auditory remembered. They're looking horizontally to their left if they're remembering their mother's voice. Number three, if someone talks about their feelings, which way are they looking? They're looking down and to the right. That's kinesthetic, feelings. Now remember, Feelings can be emotional feelings, as I was talking about in this question, or it can be the feeling of sand on your bare feet. Or it doesn't have to be something pleasant. It could be sandpaper on your skin. Feelings can be emotional or actually feeling something on your skin or in your body. Temperature, wind, etc. Okay, so feelings, if you're normally oriented, looking down and to the right. Number four, to catch a liar, what process would you go through? Well, as you'll remember, first of all, you want to determine which way they're oriented. In these questions, we assume that they were normally oriented. So we know that when they're remembering something visual, they're looking up and to the left. When they're remembering something auditory, they're looking horizontally to the left. We can then simply ask them questions. You say that you were at such and such place at such and such time. Tell me, during that time, something about what you saw. You say you had a meeting with someone. What were they wearing? That's a type of question which you can ask. Something that they saw. And then you would watch their eyes. If they are looking up and to the left, to their left, where they should be looking, they're remembering something visual. If they're looking up and to the right, they're making it up. They're lying. If you ask them something about what they heard, oh, really? You were at a concert. Well, how did the band sound? If they actually heard it, they will simply remember the sound, and they will look horizontally to their left. Auditory remembered. If they're making it up, they will look horizontally to their right. Auditory created. And you have yourself a liar. So when they're looking, when they're normally oriented, when they're looking to their right, either up or horizontally across, that's when you know that they're lying. The fact that their eyes may be darting around doesn't mean they're lying. What matters is where their eyes are going when they're darting around. A shifty-eyed person is not necessarily a liar. It's perhaps just someone with an active mind, someone who's processing a lot of information. What matters is where those eyes are shifting and when. Question number five. If someone looks up to the left or right, horizontally to the left or right, and then down and to the right, what is the sequence of their access? It would be visual for up and to the left or the right, auditory for horizontally to the left or the right, and then kinesthetic with the normally oriented person down and to the right. V-A-K, as we call it in the NLP lingo. Question number six, what can we do with this information? Well, if we see this sequence repeating over and over again, we know that we have a person who likes to go through this particular sequence. Visual, auditory, kinesthetic. We can then start presenting information to them using this sequence. Something to see, something to hear, and something to feel. And the example I gave in the material was talking about going to see a band. Trying to get someone to go on a date with you. You would talk about seeing the band. You have got to see their, what's that called, pyrotechnics, I think it's called, when there are explosions on the stage, good explosions on the stage. You've got to see their pyrotechnics and the sound. They're absolutely amazing with this new speaker system. It'll just blow you away. The sound is amazing. And you know, I really love this band. They're near and dear to my heart. So I'm using the sequence of that person. Visual, auditory, kinesthetic. That's something they relate to. How did you do? How did you do in the quiz? I know this module is a little more intricate, a little more detailed than the rest. Some modules will be like that. Not all of them, but some. In those cases, you may want to review the material before moving on. If you missed two or more of the questions, out of the six, I strongly recommend that you review the material before moving on. If, however, you didn't, if you did better than that, then that's fine. Go ahead and move on. Either way, you can do what you want to do. These are just my recommendations. This material, although it doesn't necessarily build from one module to the next, these modules can be looked at as independent tools. It is advisable for you to learn this material thoroughly so that you are a master of it. All right, now it's time for the other thing that you're going to hopefully grow to enjoy, the homework. Now, I want you to look at the word homework from now on as fun, because in this program, you get to have fun with the information. It is your road to mastery. And I give you complete permission to mess up, to make mistakes, to fall flat on your face, and just make the worst possible mistake, because there are no mistakes. There are no mistakes. Get that in your mind right now. There are no mistakes. It's all learning, part of the learning process. So even though this information may seem like a lot of information, just get out there and do it. Now, in this case, for this part of the homework, in your Module 6 assignment, you're not going to actually have to do anything in terms of talking with the person and trying to get them to do other things. So you're not going to have to worry about that. There's no result we're looking for or anything along those lines. You're going to find that you can do this homework without anybody noticing you're doing it. What I want you to do is to pick a victim, pick a person in your world who you can look at face to face, and I want you to have a conversation with them. Part one of this homework, of this fun assignment, is to have a conversation with someone. Just talk with them. See where they're looking and when they're looking there. See which way they're oriented. Start paying attention. Now, if you have someone who just stares straight at you, move on to the next person. At least in the beginning phases, when you're learning how to use this technology, you need someone who's going to give obvious eye movements. So you want to pick someone whose eyes are expressive. They're looking around. I want you to just spend a few moments with them, a few minutes talking with them, and just watching. Now, if you're not getting the information that you want, you may want to throw some things out there. Don't make it anything too bizarre. I don't recommend talking about the Statue of Liberty wearing a cowboy hat, for example, unless you have excellent rapport with this person and it really doesn't matter, then that's fine. But if you want to go in under the radar, just have them imagine things that aren't too bizarre. For example, if you want to see their eye accessing direction for visual created, you may want to say something like, can you imagine a racing stripe on your car? Can you imagine if your car was a different color, then name the different color that their car is not? And just have them imagine that. If you want to find out their eye accessing direction for visual remembered, just say something like, hey, you remember your first house or your first bike? Do you remember what it looked like? Make sure you specify that you're talking about the visual representation of it, not your feelings of it or how it sounded, talking about your visual representation of it. Same for auditory created and auditory remembered. Hey, remember that Beatles song? Or, hey, can you imagine if the Beatles used some helium balloons before they sang? The degree to which you can make it bizarre, of course, depends on your rapport with them. So you be the judge. And then kinesthetic. Hey, how does it feel to be a doctor? Hey, how does it feel to be a teacher? How does it feel to be a fireman, a policeman, a policewoman, a firewoman? Whatever they are, you can ask them about their feelings about it. And find out their eye accessing cue for feelings. Now, once you've established all of this, if you want to do another level of homework, go ahead and use the lie detector test. Now, I want to caution you. before you use the lie detector test, because I don't want to be the cause of any divorces or breakups or firing employees or anything like that, before you use the eye accessing test as a lie detector test, make sure that you are certain of which way they are oriented, and then go ahead and do it. Then go ahead and ask your questions. So that's another level of homework. Only once you have mastered this, only once you're certain you've seen their eye accessing cues and they are consistent, then you can go ahead and do that. Another bonus level of homework, if you choose to accept this assignment, is to go a level beyond and find other sequencing. Maybe it's auditory, visual, kinesthetic. Maybe it's kinesthetic, visual, auditory. Maybe it's visual, kinesthetic, auditory. Who knows? Whatever combination they're throwing out there, maybe it's kinesthetic, visual, kinesthetic, and auditory never shows up. Whatever their sequencing pattern is, pay attention to it. Of course, everything begins by observing. Observing begins by caring enough about someone else to get into their world, to pay attention to them. Get out of your own head. Get out of your own world. Get into theirs. If you want to control people, you first must understand how they think. The eyes give it away consistently. You can find out how someone thinks by watching their eyes, by caring enough to get into their world. So everything starts with that, and then you have to make sure that you've consistently been seeing patterns. Once you have that, you can do the lie detector test, and you can start watching for sequences. And once you have consistently observed a sequence, then you can do the next bonus round of homework, of fun work, which is to mimic that sequence with words. Now, when you mimic that sequence with words, you can do it through texting, you can do it through emails, you can do it through leaving them notes. You know, a love note is more powerful if you're using their sequencing pattern. For example, maybe it's auditory, visual, kinesthetic. You can leave a note, a love note, that says something like, "I love hearing your voice in the morning and then seeing your beautiful face. It makes me feel so wonderful." That's how they process their universe, auditory, visual, kinesthetic. It's going to be a much more powerful love note than if you just say, "I love you. Have a great day." So pay attention to their world and then use it to start gaining control over the situation. All right. I hope you have fun with that. A lot of information. If you need to review, that's fine. And when you're ready, I'll join you in the next module. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.